Let's get the thoughts now of the MP, Rosie Duffield, who's been MP for Canterbury since 2017, but she resigned from the Labour Party just after the election, citing Keir Starmer's, quotes, cruel and unnecessary policies. Good morning to you.
Hi, Adam.
Where do you think this is heading with Sir Keir Starmer? Because he is saying in the newspapers that he plans to fight the next election. He thinks he's going to win it. You obviously are of the Labour family. How do you rate his chances of surviving?
I don't know anyone that thinks he could win the next election, if I'm honest.
What, including Labour MPs? Because he says that there's a silent majority behind him.
I mean, possibly some of the new MPs disagree with me, but everybody I know that's been around for a while, I mean, we didn't ever really choose Keir to win an election. He was supposed to be a kind of bridging leader until, you know, Boris Johnson called an election. There was going to be a coup. There are people whose names are in the ring who've been planning to be the leader since then, so for sort of 5 or 6 years. So he was never the person we chose to fight the election because we knew it would be difficult on the doorstep with him. And although obviously Labour had a huge majority, he personally wasn't popular. So that wasn't really the plan. And he has shown the same level of kind of management rather than leadership throughout those 6 years.
You resigned from the party. Would it be your hope one day that you would rejoin the party?
Yeah, of course. I mean, my values are exactly the same. Everything I stood for on, you know, three elections hasn't changed, but I feel that the party has left its original intention. It's let people down and it doesn't resemble the Labour Party, my Labour Party anymore.
In what way?
I think things like benefits, the welfare, you know, the welfare cuts, the two-child limit that we fought for so long. We had to fight tooth and nail with our own party alongside colleagues that were in the cabinet that had campaigned to reverse that since George Osborne brought it in. And it was just a real body blow to see that the party wasn't, had to be dragged kicking and screaming to do those very Labour things.
Of course, the counter-argument which we hear from the Conservatives is that welfare is ballooning and the nation can't afford it.
Yeah, I mean, there are all sorts of things that need to be put in place and need to be dealt with. But as a Labour Party, that's what we're supposed to be there for, you know.
What about Keir Starmer himself? I mean, what is your experience of him?
He's just so hands-off. You know, I think people have been saying since kind of what I've always said, he does not have that connection with his own MPs or backbenchers. If you don't talk to backbenchers, you don't know what constituents are thinking. We get thousands of emails every month, thousands. And the only way for someone like him, who doesn't know the regions and even the nations of the UK that well outside London, you have to speak to backbench MPs. He never has. He's never engaged with us. He didn't know anything, for example, about Kent. I was the only Labour MP in Kent for a very long time. And I didn't have a visit. I didn't have any engagement. I tried really hard. And it's pretty demoralising, I think, when you just don't have any connection at all to this tiny Westminster bubble.
You came under, maybe you still are under, considerable personal attack over your views on trans issues.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever, I mean, at one point I think you had to have security to accompany to the Labour conference. Did you ever discuss that with Keir Starmer?
A little bit. I think he was a bit baffled. Again, he is so distant from those issues. It's as though he's got a sort of wall surrounding him and didn't really understand what was going on. It's odd because, you know, all we do all day and all night is read the news, keep up to date with things. And obviously when you're the leader, you're incredibly busy. But even as he was never a backbench MP. He went straight to the shadow front bench. And I think he's just not a natural politician. I don't think he was aware of that issue in the way that most of us have been.
Well, he did. He took a side initially, didn't he?
I think he was advised, but, you know, women's rights isn't probably his natural comfort zone, to be fair.
But, you see, the Labour Party or people within the Labour Party have differing views as to where the threat is coming from, whether it's coming from reform, which the Prime Minister in his interview, you know, makes clear that he intends to take on at the next election, or whether it's actually coming from people who perhaps have different views from you, but who supported Jeremy Corbyn and now seem very tempted by the Greens.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been to the left of the Labour Party, despite whatever the media narrative has been about that. And I would say that the Labour Party needs to be more worried about the drift to the Greens from those people on the left who are leaving the party in droves because they don't recognise that the offer from Labour at the moment is at all left-wing. I don't think the Labour Party should be chasing all too worried about reform votes. Those people are going to go to reform, but not from Labour. I think Labour is in danger of hemorrhaging to the Greens, and that's what they should be concentrating on, the left behind left of the party, including its own MPs, some very senior backbenchers who've just been completely left in the dark, you know, or on the backbenches.
Who else would you put in that group?
Well, I mean, people like Barry Gardner, who've been around for a long time, Dawn Butler, people like that who are essentially sidelined, Diane Abbott, you know, leading left-wing figures. Ian Byrne, who has obviously been really involved with the Hillsborough inquiry. People like Richard Bergen, they have a huge following. And they are a huge part of the Labour Party. You know, Angela Rayner, people on the left, Lou Hague, and they are now marginalised from this particular leader.
So what do you think is going to happen to Sir Keir Starmer? What
I think May the 7th was always going to be a disaster, and it was always going to be some kind of watershed for him. But there was talk a few weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, that he'd factored it in. It had all been factored in along with the through-the-floor polling, and that he was just going to stick in number 10 anyway, no matter what, and just stubbornly remain there. However, now that the Mandelson thing has reared its ugly head again, I'm not sure that he can survive that plus the terrible drubbing they're going to get on May the 7th. So I think something's going to happen, but I think he'll have to be dragged kicking and screaming out of number 10, to be honest.
And do you have someone who you would like to take over the Labour Party, perhaps someone who you would rejoin the party over?
Yeah, personally, I think if Andy Burnham could in any way get back, I would be really interested in coming back. I think he is incredibly popular. He's made enormous changes to Manchester. We need to gain trust again in the north and just outside London, which in itself is in trouble. I think he would be really inspiring. It's a shame I can't see a woman ready for the job at the moment. That would be brilliant. But I think someone outside of London is essential.
I mean, it's important to say that in your case, most of the people you've mentioned as potential leaders are in a very different position on the trans issue.
Possibly not so much, but those conversations could happen. I think most people are with me on women's rights now, certainly the country. It's not about being anti-trans anything or leaving them out. It's about making sure that women are safe, have our spaces and our dignity, as according to the law. And, you know, I think there's room for everybody. It shouldn't be too difficult to do that.
But you feel, what, the Labour Party, following the Supreme Court ruling, has sort of moved in your direction?
I think mostly, certainly the activists and members are completely okay with it, but perhaps not. Again, Westminster is just distance, and lots of activists, people in the NEC, people in number 10, they don't really agree with me on these things, but they're Keir Starmer people, and hopefully when there's a change, people will realise what the country wants.
I mean, you know, we still haven't had the guidelines issued by Bridget Phillipson, for example.
No, it's been over a year. It's utterly farcical. But there are lots of things like that that the government is really dragging its heels on, and nobody can quite understand why. I suspect it's fear of the activists, fear of the NEC members who are really vocal, fear of particular groups, student groups or whatever. But it is leaving lots of people politically homeless.
And we've had the former leader in Scotland having to apologise to Stonewall and apologise publicly for praising J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, I mean, I think Kezia, you know, was a strong leader in Scotland, and I think she's realised a lot of lesbians and LGBT groups were really, really kind of united with the Supreme Court. And in fact, they were at the court taking part in the case. And I think she realised how utterly ridiculous it was to paint Jo Rowling as some sort of monster, you know. And then, of course, as always, Stonewall kind of made her take that back. They're not in line with the rest of the country.
What do you say to the viewpoint that whatever Keir Starmer may have done wrong we don't need the turmoil of changing a Labour leader and Prime Minister at this junction.
That's the sort of thing that comes from Westminster, and they are really out of touch with what people are saying out there. You know, people are really angry. And yes, there were lots of bits of, you know, change we didn't necessarily need and were, you know, causing turmoil under the last Tory government, and they paid the price. But I don't believe this government at the moment can win another term anyway. I don't think they could get any worse in people's opinions. We need the chance for a strong leader to really turn those polls around before the next general election. It's now or never, and Keir Starmer is not going to make the Labour Party electable next time.
Well, that may be in the interest of the Labour Party. What about the interests of the country? Do we need this sort of turmoil?
I think the country are really fed up with this party and this government. I think they have been from a very early point. You know, there are lots of us saying that the winter fuel allowance was the first and final nail in the coffin of this government. There were senior colleagues in the Lords that I know well saying this government is finished for a generation. It's desperate out there. People are not going to vote Labour again in the next general election. We've got to do something to save the party. And I think getting rid of Keir is essential.
Rosie Duffield, thank you very much indeed for joining us here on Times Radio.